So the scripture today is from Luke, chapter 1, starting with verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. And in the sixth month, what does that mean? Well, there's this woman named Elizabeth who is expecting a baby as well. So if you go read right before this, it talks about Elizabeth expecting a son. And so she is 6 months along. So this is talking about in her sixth month. So in the sixth month, and she happens to be expecting a baby who will be Jesus' cousin, and his name is John the Baptist. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting that might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Here we are again. Scripture that you have heard, if you've been in church much of your life, a scripture that you've heard. You know, if you've been through 70 Christmases, this is probably 30 or 40 times anyhow you've heard this scripture. You've seen it on Christmas cards. There's nothing new that I have for you about this scripture today. But here's the angle that I want to come at it from today. The other day, Diane and Adam and I, I like to get you guys involved in things, and some people are pretty receptive. Next year, I'll be trying to get a lot of you involved in going to Baltimore and packing shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child. Now, we didn't do that this year. I've heard that you have done that in the past. Most people know what I'm talking about. You pack up a shoebox with little things, and you take them to a local church. And the local church somehow gets them to a Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child Processing Center. For the first time, they have a processing center now just outside of Baltimore, Jessup, Maryland. There's a processing center there. So Diane and I get texts and emails and Facebook messages from Samaritan's Purse, and they sent out a thing saying that they were opening up the processing center registration. So it was open at 8 a.m. one day, and I went probably at 9 a.m. to sign up, and there were hardly any spaces left. It just fills up that quick. So I got us three spots last week. So Diane and Adam and I went, and we went on Tuesday, and then we spent the night in D.C. and picked Matt up on Wednesday from the airport and drove back on Wednesday. So as we're in this processing center, it's pretty, it's a warehouse, basically, and it's got, like, looks like it would have 14 checkout lanes if you were at Walmart. It's got even the numbers and everything, and each one, they start out with the box that someone from somewhere has made up for the kids. Now, you don't really know whatever happens to the boxes, but we found out a lot about what happens to the boxes. The boxes get gone through. So you pack them up and you fit as much in there as you can. Well, when they get to the processing centers, someone, they have a line, two sides of this table, and first person does a pre-inspection. So they'll pop off the top, take off the rubber band, and they'll take that envelope and that you put money in, they'll drop it in a slot there. Then it goes down to an inspection, and they make sure there's no Harry Potter stuff in there. Do you think that's funny? I thought that was funny. Apparently, because wizardry in some countries, no Harry Potter, no Pokemon, no liquids. So if you do, like, hand sanitizer or shampoo, they take that out, drop it in a bucket, and that goes to a local charity. Because they can't put those liquids in there, because if it bursts, it'll get everything wet. No chocolate, because the places that a lot of them are going is very hot, and the chocolate would melt. So all of those things come out. Then if a box isn't really full, we have things there on the table that we can put in to make them a little fuller. There's these shoes called Bob's Shoes. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Bob's. And then there's also a group called Tom's. And Bob's Shoes, if you buy a pair of Bob's Shoes, and Diane has a few pair, the thing about Bob's Shoes is when you buy a pair, they say, we're going to donate a pair to a kid that doesn't have shoes. And so we were there packing up stuff, and Diane looks down, and there's these little shoes that are there, and guess what they say on them? Bob's. She brought tears to her eyes. So a little pair of shoes, if a shoebox isn't very full, we can put a pair of shoes in, or a stuffed animal. And so then they go down, and they get packing tape around it that says Samaritan's Purse. The packing tape goes around it. And then we fit as many as we can in a big box, and then that box goes on the roller system, and then it goes down, and the box gets taped up. And so while we're doing this, when you are doing stuff like this, it is so easy to be so focused on the job at hand that you sort of forget what you're doing. To give you an example, in 2011, I was in New Orleans working on a house that had been pretty much destroyed by Hurricane Katrina. And I'm sanding drywall. And as I'm sanding the drywall, I'm thinking, you know, you're focusing on sanding the drywall and you want those corners to be nice and tight, and you get so focused on the job at hand that you can forget where you are and what you're doing. And so I remember specifically being in New Orleans working on this house sanding, and I just stopped for a second, and I said to myself, you're in a house that was destroyed by Hurricane Katrina, and you're working on this house. It's no different than when we were in Oklahoma, or no different than when we were in New York, but sometimes you get so focused on the job that you forget what you're doing, who you're doing it for, the circumstances on which this whole thing is taking place. And I found that when we were going through those shoeboxes, they expect to pack, to ship out of D.C. 600,000 shoeboxes this year. Samaritan's Purse expects to send 8.3 million shoeboxes around the world this Christmas. Is that unbelievable? 8.3 million. So
we're hard at work. We're trying to do all 600,000 in one day, right? Sending them through, inspecting them, taping them, get them in boxes, get them in, get them out. And I said to Adam, because they told us when we were over there this past week, it was the first day that they were doing it. So it was the first day this season, and it was the first day ever in Baltimore. And they said that 60,000, I think they said, 60,000, the first 60,000 shoeboxes that we put in boxes to ship out, they were going to, did anybody see it on Facebook? Iraq. The kids in Iraq who were on a hill, remember that story, and they were doing drops to him because ISIS had chased them up on the hill. And the first 60,000 shoeboxes that come out of the Baltimore Processing Center are going to Iraq. We're touching these shoeboxes. We're putting them in a box. And the next person to touch those shoeboxes is going to be the pastor or the Sunday school teacher they like for who, whatever Christian person is in charge of a group of kids to be the one to pass them out because it lends credibility to what they say. The next person, when we put those shoe boxes in the big box, the next person that's going to touch those shoe boxes is going to be in Iraq, and they're going to be pulling those out and giving them a little booklet about Jesus in their language. How awesome is that? But we can forget when we're doing this, we can forget about those people. We get so focused on the task at hand. Do you see what I'm saying? We do the same thing in our Christian lives. When we go to the Union Rescue Mission or whatever we do, we get so focused on the task at hand, getting the right size portion of potatoes with the potato scoop. You focus on things. And all this comes to mind, you're going, how does this relate to the scripture? Mary is going to have a baby. This baby is going to be the Son of God. She, more than anybody else in the world, knows that it's God's Son, because she knows that she's never been with a man. She knows that it's through the power of the Holy Spirit that she's going to have this child. And so as her belly grows and as she has morning sickness, I wonder about Mary. Is it possible that she could get so focused on the job at hand, having a baby, that she would forget it's the Son of God? You're going, there's no way, right? But I think there is a way. We are saved. If you have Christ as your Savior, you're saved by Jesus. And you come to church, and sometimes you get reminded of that. But then you go out, and you go live your life. And me too, I live my life, and I just forget it. I get so focused on the menial tasks of everyday life that sometimes I forget who I am and whose I am. And these problems come along. Anybody got problems? These problems come along. And we get distracted. And we forget what we're doing here. What in the world are we doing here? I mean, how many years do you have left? I think here's the payoff, here's the punchline, if you will, on today's message, on today's, what I'm getting from today's scripture. is that we need to look at things from a kingdom perspective, from an eternal perspective, so that when we're doing these things, we don't get so focused. I mean, do you have to focus on the here and now? Absolutely. If you're at the plant and you're running machinery, you better be focused on that. If you're cutting someone's hair, I know how sharp those expensive scissors are. It's pretty easy to cut your finger. I mean, do you have to focus on the here and now? Yes. But we remember in everything we do, we remember who we are and whose we are. And so as we think about Mary and an angel coming and saying, in about 9 months, you're going to have a baby. I just pray that from now on, when you remember the Christmas story, that you remember and believe that it's possible for anybody to fall into a funk or to fall into a worry about every detail, or to forget the bigger picture and only see the little small thing that's right in front of you. And I hope you're seeing how all this is working in my mind, that when we go to New York, now next week We're going to leave after church, and we're going to be back on Saturday. And I'm assuming, and I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm assuming that we've got pastoral care available to you. And Marvin and Christine, they're shaking their head yes. I'll have their number in next week. But as the few of us who are going to New York next week, as we're up there, I'm going to remember who I am, whose I am, and what I'm doing there. I'm going to be working on a house that was damaged by Hurricane Sandy. As you go out shopping today, or as you go out and eat lunch today somewhere, who's going to Linda's today? You don't have to raise your hand. I know a lot of you go to Linda's. Isaac, are you going to Linda's? Only if someone will take you, right? You know, another reason this came up today for me that I had this on my mind today was the football team. Obviously, they're playing in the state championship next week. I'm guessing everybody here knows that. Do you know that they're going to play another state championship game next year? And the next year? Do you know they played one last year? It's like all of this earthly stuff sometimes we can let this earthly stuff define us too much. It's one of the things that I blogged about this past week, that the biggest game of their lives, it's just a season. It's just, and it does not define them. And your problems and all of this stuff doesn't define you. What defines you is Jesus. Let me pray. God, I pray that the message that I feel like you gave me, I feel like that... It takes you to get it to the people who are sitting here today. And I pray that they've got that message in something that's been said. I pray that each one leaves here appreciating today, not worrying about tomorrow, but remembering that we are yours. Once we say yes to Jesus, that we're no longer ours, but we're yours.
And as Mary said, be it unto me, Lord, I am your servant. I pray that as we leave today, that we leave as your servants, that we remember that there aren't accidents, that you send people into our path that we can have a great positive effect on. And I just pray as we go through our daily lives, we don't have to be packing shoeboxes or standing homes, but I pray that as we go through our daily lives that we would remember whose we are and who we are in you. And I pray that for each person here today. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.